Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with none other than my personal favorite and inner circle coach, Susan Niebergall, and we talk about a lot. But one of the main things we discuss is how to gain weight, because what Susan is going through right now is her own personal weight gain journey. She's trying to gain weight. It's the first time in her life she's ever tried to do that. And we break down some of the things she's been struggling with and how we can get her to improve and overcome a lot of the mental obstacles that come with gaining weight. So I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a rating on iTunes. They help a lot. And in the meantime, hope you enjoy the episode. Susan.
Hey, hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am excellent.
All right. So right before we hit record, you were about to tell me a really good story, which I'm excited to hear because I have not heard it yet. But you were saying that you were invited to this dinner called Keto Clarity.
Yes.
All right. Tell me about this. Give me the backstory and then give me the full story. Like, what happened?
So it's one of the, I just got this random postcard in the mail that comes to resident. You know, it wasn't addressed to me specifically. So it was obviously a mailer that went out to a bunch of people from a local doctor who was holding one of these dinner seminars, very similar to the kind of seminars you can go, retirement seminars are done like this, financial seminars where they invite you to a nice restaurant and you sit there and listen to all these things and then they sign you up for something or whatever. It was one of those, but But I almost threw it away. But the reason it caught my attention is because the title of the dinner was called Keto Clarity, and then there were subtitles underneath and little subheadings about saying things like why calorie counting doesn't work for belly fat, why hormones or whatever, something about hormones and metabolism are the problem, whatever. It was that kind of stuff. I don't have the card anymore. I think I threw it away. So I don't know the exact wording, but it was just clickbaity stuff like that. And it was held local here. So I immediately RSVP'd to go because I had to hear this.
Because you had to go. Oh my God. I'm excited to hear what happened. Okay. So what next?
So I went. And I signed up. It's so funny because when I called to sign up, I signed up using my Susan Niebergall Fitness email because I wanted to make a point of the word fitness in my name, just for someone to be on the lookout for that. Because I figured the people in the crowd of this crowd were not going to be fitness related people whatsoever. So I go and it was scammy from the second I arrived because we are ushered into this room, this private dining room at this restaurant, and the speaker was nowhere to be found. He was nowhere. His two assistants were running everything, and they started by first of all, there's about 30 some people in this room, crammed into this room, and all of them are middle-aged and older, pretty much. I don't think there was anybody younger than me probably in that room, my guess is. Or if there were, it was very close. A lot of people that are overweight, a lot of people, and older people too, much older people. So it was kind of that audience, which is what I expected. So it starts off by, they show this video clip. And the speaker's not there either, by the way. They just start rolling this video clip. And it was a segment from a film that I can't remember the name. Maybe you remember the name of it. It's a film that bashes our healthcare system. And that's all it was. It was like a minute or two, 3 minute clip of scenes from this movie. It reminded me of the Super Size Me kind of documentary. It was that style. And it was all about our healthcare system and how ultimately that is going to probably end up killing you because it's that bad.
Oy vey.
So okay. They start with everyone being scared to death. And then literally as soon as that film stopped, in pops the speaker. It was choreographed, completely choreographed. And in he walks. He's super, super dynamic. And if you didn't know anything about anything, you think, well, this is a great, you know, he's a great guy. And he probably is a nice person and all the rest. And he's a dynamic speaker. And all he did from that moment on was prey on everybody's worst fears about their health. And he talked extensively about how bad our healthcare system is and how bad our doctors are, but it's really not the doctor's fault because the insurance companies, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he went down that whole road. He's setting everything up for the end, which was actually really well done. But it was it's worse than a timeshare presentation, actually. It was really,
Jesus.
It was bad. So then everybody's nodding their head and just, he's bringing everybody in. And then he starts on keto and he starts talking about how he lists a million things that need to happen for keto to work effectively. I mean, it was like, I looked at that list and I said, well, there'd be no way in hell I'm going to do all of that. And he also said that if you're going to do it, you have to have your blood tested regularly. You can't use these little keto strips or whatever. I mean, he just went on and on and on about keto, but he did say how keto works so well because keto uses your fat as energy now and not glucose. And then he went through this whole thing and then he starts talking about ketosis. And so I raised my hand and he calls on me and I just said, but doesn't being in a calorie deficit, isn't that what's driving the actual weight loss? Like ketosis won't work at all if you're eating more calories than your body needs. Isn't that right? And he looks at me. He was very flustered. He turned a little red and he goes, oh, yeah, we're going to get to that. And then he turns right around and he keeps going. He blew me off. And so he never got back to it. He never mentioned the word calorie one time.
Oh, wow. He literally said, we're going to get to that, and then never came back to it.
So I raised my hand again later, a couple slides later, and he wouldn't call on me.
Really?
There's only 30 of us in the room. No one's raising their hand but me. And he just basically ignored me at that point because I figured he pretty much knew. But so he was basically saying that what everyone in the room had, their problem was not a calorie problem. It was a hormone problem. And he went on to say how all the doctors don't test for all these things. And then, of course, he will test for all of these things. And he will come up with a treatment plan where you can finally lose the weight that you've never been able to lose before. He will detox you too, by the way. He's going to be able to detox your body and he's going to give you a meal plan to eat, and he's going to be able to give you control back because you have no control. It's not your fault. There was never any mention of responsibility. There was never any mention of eating more calories than your body needs. None of that. Not one word about that. And in fairness, I will say this. We agreed on one thing. At least there was one thing. And he did come out and say, it's never too late to change your health. It's never too late to change, to build muscle. But he talked to the men about that. And I raised my hand there too. And I said, but women can build muscle as well. and he did, he absolutely agreed. And he talked about bone density too, which, I mean, all of that was great. That was the best thing. And then, you know, at the end, it all was leading to the end part of the presentation where he was saying that he will have everyone, he's blocked off 2 weeks on his calendar to set up consult appointments for everyone in the room. And they're usually $300, but for you guys, you know, it's $100 or whatever. And I'll make myself available for a few minutes afterwards, right outside the door if you have specific questions, blah, blah, blah. So I go looking for him. He wasn't there. He wasn't there.
I have a feeling he did not want to get in a debate at all.
No, he didn't want it. He didn't. Once I pushed a little bit about being in a calorie deficit, and honestly, I don't remember how I exactly worded my question, but basically that's what I was putting out there, that ketosis only works if you're in a calorie deficit, and he would not acknowledge that.
Oy vey. And what was the general like consensus in the actual like room? Were people like awed by it? Did they seem receptive to it?
They were incredibly taken in by him. They kept nodding their head because he would set up his questions. He would ask the room a question. Raise your hand if you're tired of feeling out of control, you know. Raise your hand if you haven't been able to lose the weight, you know. I mean, it was just like the cheerleader, and he's a very dynamic speaker. Comes across as probably a very nice person, and so people were taken in by him. I could see that. I watched his assistants go around the room, passing out all of these little forms for everyone to fill out, and they're setting up appointments with not everybody, but I'd say 2/3 of the people in there, without a doubt.
So you were saying before we hopped on, like, about the message that you wanted to get across from this, and especially how the biggest thing being that people were made to feel like they didn't have control, what about this, like, made you think about that, and like, what message do you want to get across?
Well, you know, the main thing about that night was that's exactly what he was getting or trying to get everyone to buy into, that they really didn't have control over what they were doing, that it was a hormone issue or something physiologically wrong with them and why they couldn't lose weight. And he went through and listed all these hormones and metabolism issues and all kinds of things. And that basically no one had to own anything of their lifestyle, of their habits. They didn't have to own up to anything because it wasn't their fault. And that was the part that drove me nuts, because I think everyone was buying into that hook, line, and sinker. And I think in general, I'm getting a lot of messages about some people about not feeling like they have control. Like it is menopause. It is our age. It is our hormones. It is whatever. And it's just not the case. I think we all have control. And even if it's a matter of binging on foods or something, I mean, you still have control. We all have control, and we have to make choices. And I think the lack of ownership there is kind of a mistake. You know, I think it's a mistake to feel like we don't have control.
Do people ever get mad at you when you say, like, you have control, you have a choice? Like, is that ever something that people push back on?
Yeah, and mostly when you talk about binging on foods, that's where they get maybe the angriest.
Interesting. Tell me, like, give me an example, or, like, what do you mean by that?
Well, I was just talking to somebody earlier today about how they snack on stuff and they can't stop. They don't know how to stop. And I said, look, there are a bunch of ways that you can do, a bunch of things that you can do to stop. And we go over a couple little strategies, even things of pre-portioning this food into smaller containers or whatever, and allowing yourself to have a container instead of saying, no, I'm not allowed to eat that at all and never eat it. And then when your bubble bursts and you just start eating it all. Little things like that. And a lot of times I get back, you don't understand. Well, no, I do understand. I do understand that it's a choice, and it's not an easy choice. And I think that's the key. At least I think part of that is the key, is that I think people don't feel like they're heard or something, maybe. And so when people don't feel like they're heard, the wall goes up, and it doesn't matter what you say.
You know, I think it's just, I've been very interested by the pushback and the anger that people get when you bring up the ability to have a choice. And one of the most common first responses is to the effect of, well, it's not that easy. It's just not that easy. And I'm always, the first thing I'll say is I never said it's easy. It's definitely not easy, absolutely not, but you can still do it. And it's one of those things where it's one of my, like, first things that I'll use as a way to gauge whether or not someone is actually ready or willing to make a change versus based on whether their response is, it's not that easy, or, okay, well, how can I do it? Right, it's one of those two questions. It's you can see if someone is actually ready or willing to make a change in their life based on if they say, well, it's just not that easy, versus if they ask, okay, well, how can I do this? Someone who's willing to ask, how can I make this change, is a much more open individual, ready to make a change in their life regardless of whether or not it's going to be easy. And it's one of those things where I'll say to them, I'm like, okay, so let me ask you this. Is quitting cigarettes easy? And I'll be like, no. Like, do people do it? Yes, every day. Every day there are people quitting smoking cigarettes. Every day there are people who are quitting being an alcoholic. every day there are people overcoming terrible, terrible habits and even addictions. And no one is saying it's easy. But if not doing it because it wasn't easy was a valid excuse, then anytime anybody did something bad, then there would be no reason to work to get through it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, of course it's not easy. There are a lot of things in life that aren't easy.
I mean, that's really, like, for me, the most important part for people to understand is no one is saying it's easy, but you saying, well, it's not that easy, literally does nothing to help. It was interesting. I made the post yesterday on my Instagram about weight loss and basically saying, like, you're not, like, if you lost 1 pound a week for a year, that'd be 52 pounds. If you lost in 2 years, that would be 104 pounds. You know, the scale isn't going to go down every day or even every week. Stop expecting it to. And the overwhelming majority of comments were people being like, thank you so much. I really needed to hear this. I didn't think about it this way. There was one woman who was like, it's just not that easy on the day to day. And my response was to the effect of, it's definitely not easy. But when you start to think of it from a logical perspective, and you understand that it's going to fluctuate, and you understand this will happen, and you understand expecting it to go down every day or even every week is setting yourself up for failure, then you can start to have better expectations and better response to it over time. And she just unfollowed me. And she's and it's one of those things where it's like, it's so interesting, the psychology of it, where, I mean, even people talk about what things that you and I have discussed a lot, where they hear what we say in regard to hormones, and it's not your age, it's not your gender, it's not your hormones, and people initially get really upset about it. It's actually a lot of people in the inner circle will openly say when they first found our content, they were actually upset by what we were saying. But then they started listening and they started paying attention, and they went from being upset to being like, oh my God, like, this is actually true. And when you can transfer your response from being upset and angry and standoffish to open-minded and realizing that, like, hey, I do have a choice, I do have options, I can make this change, then everything opens up to you.
Oh, absolutely it does. I think that that's what happens with so many people that we both talk to, that the wall is kind of up at the beginning and then it slowly comes down. And I think once people actually put in some effort and some consistency to what they're doing, and stop blaming everything else for why they're not succeeding, and kind of look from within as to what's going on or what they haven't done, they'll find the answer. And as a matter of fact, this conversation I had earlier, it was a kind of texting back and forth, and the person was saying how they feel like they've plateaued, but they need to start counting calories again. I'm like, wait a minute, you haven't plateaued. You just said why you haven't been losing weight, because you haven't, you stopped counting calories anymore. You were doing great when you were doing it. So his feet were really kind of dug in on that. It's like, you haven't stopped. You've stopped counting, yes. So you're not dialing things in like you had been when you were successful. It's really interesting how people react to that. And I kind of equate it to, when I was a counselor in the school system, I would have angry parents come in all the time, like all the time. And I always had to deal with them. It was not much fun, but I found a way to deal with them that worked 100% of the time. And that was, when they came into the office angry, I just needed to listen, and I did. And then I kind of validated what they were saying, how they felt, really, if they were angry about this teacher or that teacher, whatever. Anyway, I diffused the situation. Once they felt diffused, you could almost see the shit get off their shoulders and the walls start to come down. And then we could have an open discussion about what was really going on. And most of the time, we found out parents were pushing just a little too hard and they were being unreasonable. I mean, almost all the time, that's what it was.
it's so funny. It's like, we can take that so a lot of times we'll have that unreasonable amount of pressure or stress or expectations, and like, we do the same thing and put it on ourselves.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, that's where so much of this comes from. It's like, when you have an unreasonable, it's like, and that's really the sum and substance of it. Like, that's really it. Like, point blank, when you have unreasonable expectations and put them on yourself, then you are setting yourself up for failure. And I think that's the vast majority of what happens, where people have unrealistic and unreasonable expectations in nearly all aspects of their fitness, if not all of them. And I think it plays out in life in general. We can see this with business. We can see this with relationships. We can see this with like fitness, with everything. And people essentially get upset over things that aren't realistic, over these expectations that were completely unfounded and not based in reality. And it's so easy to let that stuff trick you into thinking that you should be having something more, or having something better, or having something easier than you have it.
Yeah, and I think a great example of that is from my generation, at least, and maybe even a generation after me, how 2 pounds a week seems to be the gold standard of slow weight loss. You know, how did that happen? I do remember that being the standard for most of my life. That's what I thought. 2 pounds was considered slow, easygoing weight loss. No, it's not.
Not at all. And not even that. It's like even when we tell people, it's funny because I feel like nowadays that amount is, people understand 2 pounds a week is actually very, very fast. Like, I think people logically get that nowadays, especially like the more I ask people. But even when people are losing a pound and a half, 2 pounds a week, they'll still have these moments where I'm so frustrated, it's just not going quickly enough. And I'll ask, like, well, how much are you losing, like, on average? And they'll be like, oh, I don't know, like about a pound, pound and a half a week. I'm like, is that good or bad progress? And they'll immediately just pause and be like, it's good. It's like you're talking to like an elementary school kid where it's just like, was that a good idea to punch Kenny in the face? Like, no, I shouldn't have done that. It's like, were you supposed to cheat on the test? No, I shouldn't have done that. It's so funny how people are so easy to revert back to essentially being an asshole to themselves and not realizing, not focusing on what they already know and intuitively they understand it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And maybe it's because they need to have someone from the outside tell them or reaffirm that for them, whatever it is. But it's fascinating because it happens all the time. I call people on it as well. And it's yeah. And how many times do we both hear, I needed to hear this today, on a post or something, all the time? They need someone else to tell them, or they slip back into old ways of thinking or whatever.
So interesting. Let me ask you this. It's just completely like switch topics. What are you going through right now in your own fitness, like with goals and everything? Like, what are you going through right now that you're struggling with, if anything?
No. I did my first vlog about this the other day. The whole muscle building phase is well underway. And I am struggling. I am struggling a good bit to keep up with this. And I explain a lot of it in my first vlog, but in a nutshell, I am struggling to eat enough, and I'm weighing in every day. And if you were to look at my graph, you're thinking, you would look at that and think, man, that's great. You're in a great deficit there, Susan. and actually, if you draw a line, I mean, really, I'm maintaining. I'm not losing weight. I actually dropped like a 2.5 pound drop out of thin air. I was like, what was that? And then, course, that comes back up. And so I'm just kind of hanging out in the same place that I have been hanging out for a while. So what that tells me is I've got maintenance down with my eyes closed. That is never, ever going to be a problem for me. I can see that. But what I'm having to change strategy a little bit with eating. And so I started off by just adding 2 days a week, I think, just a little bit of something else, like an extra bowl of oatmeal and some fruit, that kind of thing, wasn't scratching the surface at all. So I made it into 3 days and probably 4 days this coming week, and want to hang there for another week or so and see if the weight starts creeping up just a little bit. I think I need to go another week or two before I get a better picture as to exactly what the weight's doing over the course of 4 weeks or so. But I may end up, you know, I may have to go to a different strategy as well and just plug in something every day or go for 1 week on, 1 week at maintenance, something. But the food, I'm struggling a lot with that, a lot more than I thought I was going to be.
Why do you think you're struggling with it?
I think because I'm not hungry. And so when I've learned over so many years now that I don't need to eat if I'm not hungry. So I'm having to kind of switch out of that and get some food in, even if I may not be hungry. And that's a big mindset fuck thing here. You know, you spend your whole life trying to make the scale go down, and now I'm purposefully trying to make it go up. And I have to be really careful here, and I don't know if this is going to make sense, but I think subconsciously I'm in a big fight here with myself of 30, 40 years of not wanting the scale to go up. And that is back in my head, and I think that I am listening to that subconscious bullshit a little too much. Like, I could eat a little bit more here. I could have another 100 calories or whatever it is, and I'm not doing it. You know, I really think that's part of it. And that's a big fight for me.
Interesting. So are you noticing, like, if you were to objectively look at your actions just for, like, from above, you would notice that, like, there are times when you could absolutely add another 100 calories into your day, but you're more deciding not to?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I do. Being brutally honest here, yeah.
I love that. I think it's, like, it's super helpful to be, like, really, really honest about it and to, like, objectively analyze it. Because I think a lot of times people look at, I mean, it's coaches in general, but definitely you from the perspective of, like, you're very strong, you're very defined. Like, it's not, just like people say, like, well, you wouldn't understand, right? It's like, but you do understand. You've been through all of this stuff, and you have your own struggles as well. So, yeah. Like, to be able to, like, talk about it, I think, is super helpful for people.
I hope so. And I'm gonna keep updating this as I go, because I think it's going to take a while for me to get into a true surplus. And I know things are going to fluctuate while I'm there. So I think this is really going to be a true test of time and just see it over really a big picture kind of time frame. But yeah, it drives home the point that especially people being in my age bracket, you know, we've been brought up to think one thing for so many years, and that doesn't go away just overnight. But what matters, it doesn't matter that it doesn't go away completely, but it matters how you let it dictate what you do, I think. And that's the struggle. And it's not, I'm aware of it. And I think that is the majority of the battle. I have to keep being aware of that. And now what I have to do is just be a little bit more strategic with what I'm doing food-wise. Be a little more organized with it, I think, and a little bit more strategic, and then, you know, stop listening to my bullshit and just do it.
What do you mean by being more strategic and organized? Do you mean like meal prepping?
I don't want to say prepping, because I am definitely not a meal prepper. But I want to plan out, okay, so on these certain days, I want to add X number of calories to my day. I want to be organized in that way, because I want to be able to kind of see what's working. If doing it 3 days a week works for me, great. I'm going to stick with that. If 4 days a week is better for me, great. I want to stick with that. I want to find some kind of structure that works that I can maybe continue on with instead of just, I have had structure to a degree, but I think I need to dial that in more. I'm not weighing and measuring food. And I don't really want to do that. I want to be able to do this without doing that. But I will do that if I have to. And I don't feel like I'm there yet. I really feel like it's more of the mindset piece that's making this harder than actually sitting down and eating the food, you know?
So how do you come up with strategy to get over the mindset piece then?
Well, that's a work in progress. You know, I am constantly telling myself, no, you're not going to get fat from this. It's okay if the scale goes up. I am reaffirming these in my head all the time, because they're in the back of my head all the time. And between that and then stop listening to the, you know, I really shouldn't have another 150 calories or 200 calories, whatever. I'm not hungry. I don't need that. And that part's kind of tough too, because I'm not used to eating when I'm really not hungry. I'm just not used to having to do that. But I think that's another thing that's a little bit out of my comfort zone. So I have to force that. And it's a lot of stop listening to your own bullshit, Susan. this is just pure bullshit in my head that I just have to keep beating down. So awareness is the biggie.
What about accountability? Would you use that anywhere?
Yeah. So I am weighing myself every single day, and I am starting to log what I'm eating every day. And by log, I don't log it in an app or anything like that. I have a sheet on my computer where I just type it in. That's how I log. So that's how I'm holding myself accountable right now. And what I'd like to do is figure out if it's 4 days a week I'm going to eat more, then be really specific on those 4 days, pick those 4 days, and make sure I hit those 4 days. Once the first blog comes out where I kind of introduce a lot of this, I will probably be posting more on my stories about it. But up to this point, I've just been doing it all on my own right now.
Got it. Okay. What do you think? Do you think it should be, I'm going to push for this one. Do you think you should have 4 days a week?
Oh, absolutely. I have no hesitation with that. Yeah. 100% it needs to be 4 days a week.
And how many calories on those 4 days?
Probably 100, 150.
No, total calories.
Oh, total calories. I'm probably going to be over 2000.
Got it. So like 2100, 2200.
Yeah. My guess that's because I'm not counting specifically, but that based on what I know and what I've done, I'm pretty sure that that's where I would probably hang.
And what about for the other 3 days?
I'll go back, and my guess is I'll probably hang back down at 17 or 18, which is kind of where I think I normally hang out for maintenance. And it's interesting because that number, I mean, I don't weigh very much. So I have had some people say, you're not eating enough or whatever. I don't weigh a lot, so I don't need a lot to maintain. You know, I think I weigh in at 127. And one thing I have done is in my weight app, I think I put a goal at 128, 129, like for the first month, to see if I could get up to 128 in a month, you know? And then the next month, I'm going to set the goal a little bit higher and see what happens. And that way I'll have a visual of really ongoing how close I'm getting to trying to push the number up. And maybe that will help me dictate my food a little bit more too. But
what is your max weight that you want to get to?
I don't know. I don't have a max weight. I don't know how to even figure that out. I don't, because
Let's
I
do
don't
right
know
now.
What it means.
Let's do that.
I don't. I mean, we can't. I don't know what 130 would mean. I don't know. I have no idea. Is that, I don't know. I don't know what that would look like on me. I don't know how that would feel. I don't know what that would mean. You know?
I mean, I just mean from the perspective of if you know you want to add a pound a month, mm-hmm. right, for several months, like let's come up with a maximum weight that you can get to that like, okay, like before you transfer into a maintenance or a deficit again, the weight that you'd have to get to, and essentially the highest that you'd want to get to before you start to reevaluate. So it doesn't even have to be a lot, but like, what about like, for example, 132, right? It's like, that's about like 4 pounds or so heavier than where you are. So that would be like 4 total months of if you kept it at a pound a month, which would be like, you know, that's a very slow, very, 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 very slow and steady rate. That's not fast at all. Generally, like I would say, about a pound of muscle a month would be tremendous. And obviously with that will come some fat inherently. It's impossible not to add any at all. So like maybe about like, I would say if you added about a pound a month, maybe plus a little bit just for a little bit of fat as well, I'd say 132 to 133 would be a really good range to shoot for as like your max weight before you either reevaluate, go into a mini cut again or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the first thing that comes to mind when I see that is like, holy shit.
Why? Talk to me why. It's important.
Yeah, I think because that sounds like a lot for me. But emotionally, that sounds like a lot for me. And I have no, like, why? I don't know. I have no idea. It's purely emotional. So there's no logic whatsoever as to why 132 sounds a lot for me. So part of me is very glad that I'm aware of that part, because it is purely emotional. There's no logic behind that whatsoever. I do know that this would be controlled, and I do know that I'm not going to look like a fat Teletubby. I know that. But that is the inherent fear. You know, I think that is just from fear of 40 years of being overweight and losing weight and then gaining weight and then losing weight and then gaining weight. It's all tied to that, you know. But honestly, 132, I'm sure, would be fine. And I think it would probably be fine on me, is my guess.
You know, let me ask you this. In this moment right now, do you feel more calm and relaxed about the idea of 132 than you did 5 minutes ago before we had established that number?
Maybe a little, not a ton.
Okay.
Not a ton, a little bit.
So what, if anything, is the nerve-wracking part right now?
I think having the scale, like if I weighed in today, I think at 128, I think is where I was today, or 127 and almost 128 today. So I think that the nerve-wracking thing is, wow, I'm trying to get the scale to go up 4 pounds, and I am struggling to get the scale to go up any pounds right now. That makes it, this sounds, feels like a mountain to me, a mountain to climb.
Got it. And so, but the good news is, like, as you said, you think it's because subconsciously you're just nervous, not because of like you physically can't eat anymore, but because like subconsciously, like you're choosing not to, even with those extra 100 calories or so on the end of a day.
I think so. Yes. I think that is it. I think I can eat more. I mean, I could go out to eat every night and take care of this, you know? I mean, if I literally went out and didn't take care of what I ordered or what I thought, you know, or any of that, I probably could easily eat that much. But, I've learned over time that I feel like shit when I overeat. So there's that too. So I'm trying to find the happy balance. And I think this has been actually really valuable for me to see, because it's given me, it's opened my eyes that I actually have more room to spare than what I thought I had to maintain, what I wanted to maintain. So when I hit maintenance again, this whole thing has changed maintenance for me. I think I feel like I have more wiggle room than I ever had. But the eating piece is, yeah, I'm going to have to work on that. And that is totally emotional, so, not wanting to eat too much.
So let me ask you this. In terms of adding a few hundred calories to your day, what would be some of like your go-to choices, whether it's for yourself or for somebody else?
My go-to would be an oatmeal variety of some kind.
Why oatmeal?
I love it. I'm just an oatmeal lover. I love oatmeal. I love adding fruit to it. I love adding Greek yogurt with it. I love adding protein powder to it. So I love it. It's almost a comfort food to me in some way, shape, or form.
Does oatmeal fill you up a lot?
Yeah, it does fill me up, especially when I add some other stuff to it. So
do you think that because it fills you up so much, it might not be the best choice because you don't want to feel too full as you're gaining weight?
That's actually a great point. And it could be. It could be that is actually a problem. That had crossed my mind briefly before, but it could very well be that I not add things to it and just have it by itself, or go into more of a look into the fat category a little bit more, which I haven't done. Like I used to love nuts, and I never, I just really don't eat nuts that much anymore. And I may look at going back to that, because that could be my calories right there very easily.
What about, what other foods do you think, like, let's say, because I know for me personally, and what I've found, I know you found as well, is like during fat loss, oatmeal is great because it's so sticky. It's one of those foods that like sticks to your bones. It like sits in your stomach. It makes you full when you're in a calorie deficit, which like anytime on the other side of the spectrum, when you're trying to gain weight, it can really like play a psychological game with you, because like you, a lot of times we're like scared of being hungry type of a thing. Like we get nervous about that, which can be an issue when you're trying to lose fat. And so you'll stick to the foods that will fill you up. But when you're trying to gain weight, it can actually have the reverse effect, because it fills you up so much. And then that you feel like you're gaining weight, even though it's just like, you just have a lot of food in your stomach. What other foods do you think might be a good idea to like, maybe not fill you up as much, not like stick to your bones, so to speak, and like maybe help you get more calories in?
You know, fruit doesn't fill me up a whole lot, at least some fruit. So fruit would probably be good for me.
Do you know like which fruit specifically?
You know, it's like, I'm looking at my refrigerator right now. Like sometimes apples are like that for me. When you get mixed fruit, like with melon and stuff like that, all that sits with me just briefly. And then I'm usually hungry pretty soon after I eat something like that. So something like that. The other thing that does not fill me up is, ironically, like regular cereal. Just regular cereal doesn't fill me up whatsoever. And nuts never filled me up. When I look back at how many nuts I used to overeat all the time, I overate them because I would eat them and then I'm hungry shortly after that. So I would eat a bunch of nuts. So those are the ones that come to my head right away.
It's so funny. You are so dialed in with fat loss and maintenance that the like coming up with foods that are going to help you gain weight is very difficult for you. Literally, I said, what foods are going to help you gain weight? And you said fruit.
Yeah. You gotta, because it won't fill me up, because I could eat a shit ton of fruit.
No, probably. I mean, like, we got to come up with some better foods that are like, and this is a really, really interesting discussion that I think a lot of people struggle with, because a lot of people want to gain weight, and a lot of people who want to gain weight also really struggle with the idea of putting on any fat. And so it's like, it's this mental game of knowing what they have to do, but not actually doing it. Right. It's like,
yeah,
it's a really, really, really open, honest discussion, which I love. So like, let's come up with some other foods outside of fruit and oatmeal, which are amazing for fat loss, not necessarily for weight gain, but and even something like regular cereal, right? Like this is an important one. A lot of people think regular cereal, oh, there's a lot of sugar. But I mean, like, I'm pretty sure a cup of Captain Crunch, which is the best cereal ever, is only like 120 calories or something. It's not that much. So let's come up with some other options that would help you get your calories in more quickly, like if you have any. And I have a whole bunch ready to go, but if you have any that like off the top of your head that you think might be a good idea to fit in on your higher calorie days, shoot them out.
Well, I mean, peanut butter for one thing. I don't remember the last time I've had regular peanut butter.
Well, perfect. You better buy some fucking peanut butter today.
Oh, I've got it right here. I've got peanut butter. You know, I need to look in the fat category, because that's a category that I haven't looked into for most of my life. So peanut butter comes to mind right away. I mean, I could make probably a 450 calorie peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day, and there I'm done.
There you go. Easy peasy. You know?
Yeah. So peanut butter, again, nuts, same thing. Things like, using more oil, being aware of using more oil or avocado, things like that, that I don't really tap in on a ton. But peanut butter actually is probably probably going to be the easiest out of those.
Do you ever have protein shakes?
Yeah, I do. And I was going to say, I actually have used a protein shake on a couple of my days to get my calories up. Because the stuff that I have, I think it's like 130 calories a scoop or something like that. So, you know, I mean, I can make a protein shake and add shit to it and do two scoops and, you know, be done.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite recommendations is, first and foremost, you could put peanut butter and also dry oatmeal into your protein shake, and it tastes amazing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You just add the dry oatmeal. Like, it doesn't really add anything to it from the perspective of, it doesn't add much in terms of like fullness, like just because like it's dry. Obviously once it gets in there, it's wet, but like it adds a really good oatmeal plus peanut butter taste to it when you have both of them in there. And it's like a quick and easy extra 300, 400 calories just because of that. And also a really good option is, if you struggle with eating enough, is just make a deal with yourself. it doesn't have to be every day, but if you want your on your high calorie days, like after every meal, you have a protein shake.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for fat so loss, you have the protein shake before.
I shared that post of yours.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and that caught, that really, actually, when I saw it again, it caught my eye because of this very reason, actually.
That's exactly right. It's just like if for fat loss, basically you want to fill up as much as possible. So you'd have a protein shake before every meal. And then for mass gain, if you're having trouble with it, you may just make sure like, and that's the major thing is you don't change your meal. Your meals stay the same. You just either add a low calorie protein shake beforehand for your fat loss or add a higher calorie protein shake after your meal for mass gain. And that really helps you get the extra calories that you need with like minimal effort.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. I mean, also, and for me personally, I know anytime like mass gain is on the topic, I know adding extra fats is a very quick and easy way to do it. I also do think, especially when fat gain is a concern, is actually keeping it to a relative minimum, mainly because fat in a surplus is more readily converted into fat and stored as fat, whereas carbohydrates can be used for more energy as well. So it might be like, that's where I'm like a huge fan of pretzels, huge fan of rice, huge fan of like bread, huge fan of cereal, adding a lot of these things in. I mean, literally, if you could make a delicious fucking protein shake with peanut butter and oatmeal and Captain Crunch or something like that, which would just be like, that would be incredible. And
that sounds amazing.
You could, even if you only have one of those a day or two of those a day, it adds several hundred extra calories to your day. You probably don't need that much to hit your 21, 2200 on the 4 days. And I bet that would help a lot and really just make it much more enjoyable and like an easier to handle.
100% it would be easier to handle. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's so much of this is the mental struggle than it is really anything else. Is just there's a subconscious thing going on and it's running in the back of my head and I'm totally aware of it and just trying to beat it down.
Honestly, I think this is something, I mean, I know you get questions on this all the time. I get questions on this daily. It's like people struggling to gain weight, people really struggling. And the most common question is like, no matter how much I eat, I just can't gain weight. But you and I both know that's bullshit. It's the subcon, and that's what's most impressive about this conversation is you said from the beginning, no, like probably subconsciously, I'm just not doing it because I'm scared, rather than having to beat around that bush for a while to really like understand that. Like, you know that. Now the question is, how do we bypass it? How do we fix it? And that's where having these options ready to go, not like melon, not like, no, like having more like either fat or carbs around and a plan. Because I think that's really the number one thing that you were lacking was a maximum weight to go for and a plan of how many days a week you're going to eat higher and what foods you're going to use to get in those higher categories. I think those three things are very quickly and easily able to break down into what specifically you need. And by you, I mean anybody who's struggling to gain weight, what people need in order to gain weight. When they're struggling to do so. So I think having that maximum weight and then having the foods that you know are going to help you gain weight and then basically just having that plan and then maybe even accountability as well, whether it's with texting me or posting in the inner circle, whatever it is going to help a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think of having the overall, the end weight is probably, I hadn't really even gone down that road of thinking. I think that will help a lot. I was just going from month to month, setting a weight goal every month for me to try to hit. But I think having an overarching goal would be really helpful too.
I like the idea of having a maximum weight because it's sort of like in the Unicorn Strong Challenge, how it's 90 days, right? Where it's like for 90 days, you know that at the end of 90 days, it's over and you can transfer into something else after that. So it's not just like, I think it's one of the reasons why people struggle with fat loss and any fitness goals, just because like there's no end in sight, right? It's just like, all right, well, I'm just going to do this forever now. And I think it's one of the reasons why people tend to sort of move towards those quick challenges, like 7-day challenges, 21-day challenges, because like they see the end. They know it's not going to last forever. where even though it's not the smartest move to do, oftentimes the things that are marketed as a 7-day or 21-day challenge, it's easier to convince yourself to do because you know it's only going to last for a short amount of time. When you have a 90-day challenge like the Unicorn Strong Challenge, or you have a maximum weight to get to, then you know where the end is. You know where your reevaluation comes in. There's no ambiguity there. I think that's probably one of the most important aspects, and that's why I asked if you were feeling a little bit more calm once we had established that weight, because once you have that idea of where the next stop is, where the reevaluation comes in, it becomes much more manageable, and you know, okay, like, here's what I'm going to do to get to this stopping point, and then we're going to reevaluate.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. It puts it in a little bit more of control.
I love that. So what do you think going forward? How are you feeling?
Yeah. I mean, good. It's a work in progress. This isn't going to be a, because it's so ingrained in my head. It's so ingrained in my soul, really. So I know I just need to be more aware of it. I know I need to be a little bit more strategic and a little bit more organized with it as well. I feel good about it. I'm excited to do it because I'm really curious about this. And I wanted to do this. I've had a lot of people ask me why I'm even doing this, because they say, well, you've already got muscle and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I feel like I can never have too much of that. That's the first thing. and then the second thing is, because and you and I have talked about this, and it's obvious this makes me very uncomfortable. There's a lot about this that makes me uncomfortable, and I don't want that to own me forever. You know, I don't want that to be something that just owns the shit out of me. So the only way I can, you know, be more comfortable with this is to actually have to go through this. And so that's really the overarching goal for me.
I think that's one of the coolest parts about this discussion is that I've never in my entire career heard another coach openly talk about like what they're struggling with so objectively and so honestly like this. And I've never heard anyone really talk about it with weight gain like this either. This is like, and I will say, especially recently, there have been coaches who have been doing weight gain, but a lot of times what I've seen them doing is they just go from one extreme to the other. And I don't like to call any names out, so I'm not going to do that. But I see some people where they go from literal like serious anorexia, binge eating disorder to, okay, well now they're literally just going to eat as much as they possibly can all the time. And they're not showing any balance at all. And one of the reasons that I love this conversation, what you're saying is you're struggling with it. It's difficult, consciously and unconsciously. And you're aware of where you can do better and where you can improve, and you're slowly going to be adding things to your regimen, whether it's nutrition or training or whatever, in order to achieve your goal. You're not going from one extreme to the other. You're not just being like, well, this is difficult, so I'm just going to say fuck it and eat as much as I possibly can. You're like, listen, I'm going to take it slow. There's no rush, and then we're going to improve over time. I think that's incredibly valuable for people to see that, like, it's okay to struggle with it. It's okay to have difficult times with it. And it's also valuable to see that you're practicing what you preach. You're not down on yourself because you're not like perfect with it right away. You're not going completely in either direction and just saying, ah, fuck it, well, I'm not going to do it anymore, or just like completely eating as much as you want. You're going slow and steady, and you're literally the quintessence of practicing what you preach, which I think is in this day and age a rarity and incredibly important for people to see is actually doable. So I love it.
Oh, thank you. I want to practice what I preach for sure. and just let everybody know that, you know, it's okay to be uncomfortable, and just keep working through it. I will figure this out. That is for sure. I am confident of that. And I am confident also that I think things that are in the back of your head for so many years of your life, that they may just sit there, but it's all in how you react to them and allow them or not allow them to dictate what you do. And that's kind of what I'm trying to conquer with this too, because I think I need to get a hold of that that mindset that's been ingrained in me for so long. And I think this will do it.
And are you going to be vlogging about this on YouTube and stuff?
Yeah. So the first vlog, it's probably going to be up maybe tomorrow, Tuesday at the latest. And then I'm going to be updating like little mini vlogs that I'm just going to do on my phone and stuff throughout a couple times a week. I think I'm going to put up just kind of updating where I am, what I've done. I'm going to start putting my weight chart up. And, you know, the first month my weight chart is going to look like it's hilarious because it's it looks like a great maintenance month.
So where can people follow along for your vlogs and on your weight charts and everything?
Yeah, so over on YouTube, Susan Ebergall Fitness, and then I'll be talking about it on Instagram a lot as well. So Susan Ebergall Fitness there. Those
can,
two
can
will
you
be
spell
my
spell that out for everybody.
Oh yeah. Because if you don't get it right, it doesn't pop up for sure. So Susan Susan, and then Nieberg. Gall Fitness.
Amazing. And for everyone amazing. Who doesn't know, Susan is my co-coach in the Inner Circle, which how many spots do we have taken for the retreat so far?
We are at 86. I can't believe it.
86 spots taken.
Out of 100.
14 spots left. That's crazy.
Yeah.
14 spots left.
Yeah.
Annual retreat is in Austin, Texas this coming July. Which weekend is it in July, Susan?
July 17 through 19.
July 17 through 19. So yep. I know we get a lot of questions about it. We would love for you to come. If you're in the Inner Circle and you're listening, snag those seats up because they're going to be gone. And if you're not in the Inner Circle, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you waiting? Let's go.
We want you there.
So, and if you have any questions on the Inner Circle, I get a lot of people DMing me about it. Just either go to my website, sciatfitness.com, or go to sfinnercircle.com. It's all there. Any questions you have, let us know. Susan, thank you so much for coming on and being so candid and forthright and objective with all this. This was incredibly, incredibly helpful, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on again. It's always fun to talk to you.
And next week, I'll be on your podcast because we're doing one a week every week on each other's podcast, alternating.
Yep.
What's your podcast as well?
Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast.
Amazing. I love it. I love you, Susan.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, again, please leave a rating on iTunes. It really helps a lot, and I appreciate each of you who has done that so far. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.